It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, we're here in central Manhattan, right here at the Chelsea scene, the 23rd Street bomb that went off and injured 29 people. But we're going to start about 13 miles away, not too far outside the city in Elizabeth, New Jersey, where we just saw that video. Let's show you one more time of that bomb unintentionally going off. Just how destructive that was, how scary that was. One of five bombs that were found in a backpack in a trash can. This one unintentionally went off as a bomb squad was trying to disarm it. Thankfully, nobody was hurt. Two men had called police reporting wires and a pipe coming from a package in the trash. This happened yesterday evening back here in Chelsea. Surveillance video has led police to make some quick leads in this case, and actually the FBI pulling over a car in Brooklyn on the Belt Parkway overnight that had at least five occupants inside, and all are considered to be persons of interest in this case. So we'll see where that leads. Those five are being interviewed downtown at police headquarters in Lower Manhattan. None of the five, though, as I said, have been charged at this time, just persons of interest. With the power of that explosion that you can see there on camera, nobody was killed in these bombs. 29 people were hurt. And we're also learning that two witnesses reported seeing a man who they described to police as not being from around the area, is what they said. Maybe somebody that didn't belong in that area, dragging a duffel bag down the sidewalk on West 27th Street, which is just a few blocks to my north. And apparently surveillance video shows somebody else, two other men, taking a bag out of that bag that may have contained that one pressure cooker bomb here in Chelsea that did not go off.
All right, Sandy Rios with you this morning. Much has happened over the weekend, and I know if you were in church or doing your family life over the weekend, you don't know a lot of details about this. It started, at least this latest spate, started Saturday morning. It was going to be a charity race in New Jersey, and a pipe bomb exploded. Luckily, they stopped the race before the bomb went off, and no injuries. And then Saturday night, there was this bomb explosive device that went off in a trash can. 27 people were injured. No one has been killed, and I don't think anyone has been seriously injured. There might have been some serious eye injuries. Not sure about that yet. Chelsea's kind of an upscale area of New York City. And so, and then a few blocks from there, an older woman, some friend called her and made, I don't exactly know the link to this, but somehow she went out in her neighborhood and saw something that looked strange. And she reported it, and it turned out to be a pressure cooker device set up to go off and explode. So the police were able to stop that. At the same time, in a mall in St. Cloud, Minnesota, on Saturday night, a man went on a rampage. He was dressed as a security guard. He asked at least one person if they were Muslim before he stabbed eight different people. He used the word Allah, and the thing that brought him down was an off-duty policeman. The off-duty policeman used to be the sheriff or the head of the police in the area, not in St. Cloud, but in another area neighboring. And the perpetrator there tried to come after this off-duty policeman three times. The policeman shot him, and he kept coming back after the policeman. The policeman finally shot and killed him, the off-duty policeman. So, you know, and interestingly enough, that was a gun-free zone. That shopping mall in St. Cloud was a gun-free zone. Don't you love it? Well, we're going to talk a lot about this today. There's so much news that I'm hoping to, I want to get in some other things, because Patrick Poole, who is one of the nation's leading experts on all of this, is going to join us. So we're going to have up-to-the-minute, really firsthand reporting on what the latest is. I do see that an Afghan man, they've posted his picture, He is the subject of an all-out manhunt in New York City. So that's the latest update, just so that you know. Let's go to this, because there's a lot of controversy over how people have responded to this. So Donald Trump is on an airplane. He gets out of the airplane, and this is what he says.
Thank you, everybody. Wow. This is great. In a hangar yet, right? In a hangar. Boy, oh boy. It's a movement like they haven't seen before. I must tell you that just before I got off the plane, a bomb went off in New York, and nobody knows exactly what's going on. But boy, we are living in a time. We better get very tough, folks. We better get very, very tough. Just happened. So we'll find out. But it's a terrible thing that's going on in our world and in our country. And we are going to get tough and smart and vigilant. And we're going to end it. We're going to end it. So we'll see what it is. We'll see what it is.
All right. Well, you would not believe the blowback, because, gosh, he's how terrible. He should get off the plane and declare that it's a bombing. He spoke before even the officials from New York spoke. Mayor de Blasio, by contrast, he had a statement, too. Let's listen. Cut four.
Tonight, New York City experienced a very serious incident. All elements of our first responders have been a part of the operation here, NYPD, FDNY, Office of Emergency Management, obviously our federal partners, FBI and others, working with us. So all hands are on deck. Injuries are significant. You'll hear from Commissioner Nigro on the details of the injuries. But at this point, we can confirm that none of those injured are likely to die. We also want to be upfront saying that there is no evidence at this point of a terror connection to this incident. This is preliminary information. It's something we will be investigating very carefully, but there is no evidence at this point of a terror connection.
Well, that was de Blasio, and we're going to get into the whole discussion of how these various people are responding to this incident. Mrs. Clinton responded as well, and this has been controversial, too. Let's listen.
I've been briefed about the bombings in New York and New Jersey and the attack in Minnesota. Obviously, we need to do everything we can to support our first responders, also to pray for the victims. We have to let this investigation unfold. We've been in touch with various officials, including the mayor's office in New York, to learn what they are discovering as they conduct this investigation. And I'll have more to say about it when we actually know some facts.
Secretary, do you have any reaction?
That's
an idea.
You get the idea. Well, we'll replay that in a second. But I just wanted you to see what the different responses are, because the people are just apoplectic about what Donald Trump said. And this is what Ben Shapiro tweeted. If you're in the media and your chief worry is that Trump called a bombing too early for you, please find another line of work. And that's kind of the, so you get the idea. But I want to go to something else, because with Patrick, we're going to flesh out all of the details of these different incidences and get Patrick's take on, you know, whether it is it terrorism? Does the fact that the guy in Minnesota mentioned Allah and stabbed, and there were pipe bombs and pressure cooker devices, what does that mean? And we'll talk to him about that in just a second. But I want to go to something else that happened Friday, because I think this is interesting. Donald Trump is being hit about the birther incident. Remember that there was all the dust up on whether Barack Obama was a citizen of the United States. You all remember that. I'm sure we talked about it. Well, someone asked Donald Trump about it on Wednesday. Now, the press is reporting this. This is Donald Trump is bringing this back up. He's accusing, you know, Barack Obama of not being born in the United States. Well, in a question, in an interview, I believe it was on Wednesday or Thursday, I'm not sure which one of those days, Donald Trump simply said he wasn't prepared to talk about it. He would talk about it. He, not yet. So, Friday, at the opening of the Trump Hotel here in D.C., the mass reporters showed up because they expected Donald Trump to talk about the birther issue, and they were ready and they were prepared. But instead, Donald Trump presented them with dozens of national security former members of the military who were supporting and endorsing Donald Trump. That's what the whole press conference was about. And at the end of this, Donald Trump made this statement. This is cut nine.
Now, not to mention her in the same breath, but Hillary Clinton and her campaign of 2008 started the birther controversy. I finished it. You know what I mean. President Barack Obama was born in the United States, period. Now we all want to get back to making America strong and great again. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
I wish I had in my hand, because I read it Friday, the tweets of the press corps. They were beside themselves. They were so upset because they went to that press conference expecting to have all of this stuff that Donald Trump was going to step in it, talking about Barack Obama not being a citizen. They were expecting lots of stuff. And instead, they got dozens of national security experts additional endorsing Donald Trump and that statement that I just played for you. And now here's how they've responded. It's amazing. I was watching CNN from a business that I was watching. I was watching the subtitles Friday. And they were talking about, it's a lie. How dare he say that Mrs. Clinton started this? How dare he say it's just a lie? So now they're whipping it into a frenzy. Donald Trump's lying about he's still stirring up the birther controversy, and he's claiming Mrs. Clinton started it, and how dare he? And, you know, because this was their issue that they hoped that they would actually bring up again, revive, stir up certainly the black community, because everyone knows to, you know, ask about the president's birth is racist, you know? Right. Okay, so that's facetious. You know I don't believe that. The whole notion of not being able to ask the question is the ridiculous thing. However, Donald Trump did ask the question. He did pursue it, and he let it go. As far as I know, I don't think this is the first time Donald Trump has said Barack Obama is a citizen. I think he did say that at the end of his search a couple of years ago, but I haven't had a chance to look into that, and so we'll let it be for now. But this is what I want to share with you. There is so much evidence that Mrs. Clinton and her camp, when she was running for president against Barack Obama, were the ones that brought up the birth certificate controversy. Let me read to you from the Telegraph. This is back in, I think, 2008. The photograph is a photograph of Barack Obama in Muslim garb. Was put on Drudge for one part. In fact, Drudge put it on again this over the weekend. The photograph of the Illinois senator, which was taken in 2006 during an official trip to Wajir, a majority ethnic Somali area in Kenya, appeared on the front page of the Drudge Report, where rival campaigns typically try to place damaging material. Mrs. Clinton's campaign declined to deny that it had sent the photo to Drudge, whose report said the campaign was responsible for circulating the email. And it goes, David Fluff, who was the campaign manager for Hillary Rodham Clinton at the time, said that he was the, I'm confusing myself. David Fluff was the accused, the Clinton campaign Monday. Now, this is going back in time. This is during their, when they were both running for president, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. David Fluff accused the Clinton campaign Monday of shameful, offensive fear-mongering by circulating a photo as an attempted smear. And then it goes, and so that's just part of it. McClatchy, which is a news bureau here in Washington, reported on Friday, I believe it was, or on Saturday, that it was Sidney Blumenthal that came in and personally lobbied them to, said that the president was not born in the United States, and lobbied them to go to Kenya and find out, you know, where he was actually born, what the story was on that. And it goes on and on. So when you hear that this is not true, you have to know that it is true. Mrs. Clinton's operatives actually started the birther issue, and as Donald Trump said, he attempted to finish it, and I think he did finish it on Friday, declaring that Barack Obama, according to the records, is a citizen. End of story. But they're not going to let it be the end of the story because, you know why, don't you? All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about these violent acts over the weekend. Sandy Rios in the morning.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
The first cries of a newborn baby signal the miracle of life. There are some who believe that life actually begins at that point, that whatever is in the womb is just tissue and could possibly even be an accident. But the Bible shows something quite different. In Psalm 139, it says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Life begins in the womb at the point of conception, and the Bible makes it clear that it's not just tissue, and there are no accidents with God. Life is a precious gift that's meant to be treasured, not destroyed. In fact, life is so valued by God that He sent His Son Jesus to be the sacrifice for sin so we could have life with Him for eternity. If life is that important to God, shouldn't we do all we can to protect it? For your help in defending the sanctity of human life, thank you. From AFR.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. Truett McConnell University is training students to love the Lord, love the Word, love the Church, and love the lost. Scripture is the foundation for everything they do. It's who they are, preparing students not just for a career, but to fulfill God's high calling on their lives. Truett McConnell University offers a wide array of bachelor's programs, some online, and they also have an outstanding Master of Arts in Theology. So if you'd like to schedule a visit to Truett's campus in the North Georgia Mountains, visit truett.edu. Ben Ellis poured his heart into his students, teaching Latin and Bible at Christ Presbyterian Academy in Nashville, and he was loved. Ben was diagnosed with cancer a while back. It was pretty bad, esophageal, but he was always there for his kids, teaching them about life. A few days ago, Ben was in a pretty bad spot. So the headmaster at Christ Pres got on the intercom and told the entire student body to stop what they were doing and climb on board a fleet of buses. They were going to Ben's house on a field trip. Some 400 kids serenaded their beloved teacher on his front lawn, and this is what it sounded like. On Friday, Ben Ellis, the Latin teacher, died. Soli Deo Gloria. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
هاي الامريكان هنا تخرج من بلدة الراعي الله اكبر والعزة لله لا نقبل امريكان يقاتلون معنا ما نقبل الله اكبر
وهاي Yes, I know you don't speak Arabic, but let me tell you what they're saying. This is disturbing video which has emerged of US-backed Free Syrian Army rebels threatening to kill arriving US Special Operations Forces in the town of Al-Rai near Aleppo. And it's been captured. They're saying, death to America, we will behead you. Hurry up and get out, you agents of American pigs. And on it goes. I've asked, this is the actual sound. We've got the video of it. I've asked Patrick Poole to join me this morning. We're going to talk about all that's happened over the weekend here. But I want us first to talk about this report, which I'm not sure anyone else is talking about. But Patrick, thanks for joining us this morning, Patrick.
Good morning, Sandy.
How in the world did you find this? Well, maybe you can't tell me, but how in the world do you know this?
Well, there was some activity on Twitter here late last week, and a couple of accounts actually posted the video, which you were just playing. with our special forces who were supposed to be embedded with the Turkish army that's recently moved into Syria. They're in Al-Rai, which is near Aleppo, and you see these Free Syrian Army, which is backed by the United States, funded by the CIA and the Pentagon, receiving weapons, and they're openly calling for beheading our soldiers. So
as our soldiers roll, as our
is kind of.
And I just want to
interject of our failed Syrian policy.
Patrick, I didn't paint the visual for people. They're doing this as American soldiers are rolling by, like some of them exposed, standing on backs of trucks.
As they're leaving the town, fleeing the city. That's what these our Turkish NATO allies who are standing right there watching the whole thing, and these U.S. backed Free Syrian Army, quote unquote, rebels, chasing our U.S. special forces out of Al-Rai. It's a disgrace, really.
Patrick, because we want to get to the domestic incidents, but before we leave this, explain again. So our money and resources are going to support the very fighters who were standing there threatening to kill and behead our U.S. Special Forces who were riding by on trucks as they're shouting this out.
That's absolutely correct, yes.
And when we talk, we talked for a long time about Syrian rebels, the good Syrian rebels. We want to support them. Well, are there any good guys from Americans' perspective in that battle? Is there anybody on the ground there we can identify as our friends? Or is it just a worthless, dangerous exercise for our troops?
Sandy, as we've talked about probably for the past 2 years on your program, is that the difference between the rebels that are backed by the United States and Al-Qaeda and ISIS are just shades of differences. I mean, they're differences in degree, not in type. And that's been the case. And myself, I've been reporting on the long series of misadventures with our, U.S. forces, that we've backed, Syrian forces that we've backed who've ended up either defecting to Al-Qaeda or defecting to ISIS or losing their weapons, their TOW missiles, that we've given them, et cetera. And here we are. To directly answer your question, the Syrian Democratic Forces in northeast Syria, which we've been assisting now for about a year, which are composed primarily of the Kurdish Syrian Christian troops, have done a good job, and they've been actively cooperating with United States ground troops that are there, and let's not get into no boots on the ground, which Obama promised. They've been good performers, but that's an entirely different situation from these quote unquote Syrian rebels, many of whom aren't even from Syria, who are actively interspersed with these terrorist groups like ISIS and Al Qaeda.
It's so complex, and it's hard for, I think the bottom line is, there are a lot of people listening this morning, Patrick, as always, who are military, who have sons and daughters fighting, whose, husbands and fathers are engaged, and so it's very difficult, to hear these kinds of reports. And by the way, if you want more information on this, we'll put a Patrick's recent article for PJ Media on our Facebook page. It's got the video in it. U.S.-backed moderate Free Syrian Army threatens to kill U.S. Special Forces. Patrick, let me make the transition to this domestic stuff this way. I was reading an article on what's being tracked on Twitter as a result of these attacks over the weekend in New Jersey and New York and Minnesota. And out of Saudi Arabia, they're saying things like, Oh, I don't have it in front of me, but the ISIS is a ISIS, the Islamic State, is a creation of America. And this is not the first time I've heard this. I know you've heard it. Explain why to me why they would say that. Why do they say the Islamic State is a creation of American policy?
Well, and they'll also blame Israel, too, for creating the Islamic State. And, you know, for Saudis or anybody in the Gulf countries to, like, you know, Qatar or Kuwait to accuse America of being behind ISIS is pretty rich, because ISIS has basically been an extension of Saudi policy in Syria against their Shiite Iranian rival. And Assad, the Assad regime, is backed by the Iranians. And ISIS has been, you know, was founded and supported by elements within Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and Qatar and some of these other states. So it's just rich. You know, the now that it's ISIS has become the pariah, in some cases, you know, the smart set say that, you know, Al-Qaeda are the people, you know, the modern jihadists we need to back. That's kind of the point we're at. You know, that they want to attribute the blame, you know, back on the United States. And I mean, and this is true for all these terrorist threats that emanate out of the Middle East. Is, you know, it's the great Satan, America, and the smaller Satan, Israel.
You know, I'm curious about this. Is when Muhammad was doing the same thing in the second iteration of his public life, and he was killing and slaughtering and writing about it and encouraging in the Quran the same for future generations. Did he blame other people? Did he blame that he was mistreated? Or did he was just doing it in the pursuit of jihad, right? To just establish a caliphate and to dominate. Or did he blame? Was there a pattern of blaming?
Well, I'm not the Islamic history expert, but you know, we know that examples even in the Quran where Muhammad would establish a treaty, and then, you know, when because of pressure that, you know, some non-Islamic elements were applying to Muhammad and his forces in Medina. And as soon as they got their power back, you know, it's called a hudna, a cessation of hostilities. As soon as they got the power back and where they wanted to be, they would immediately blame the other party for breaking the treaty and attack them. Here we are, and, you know, a lot of commonality with some of what we see today.
Let's go back to New Jersey, New York first, Patrick, about what happened over the weekend. I'm confused. I have to say I'm confused. I've already played, before you joined us, I played the responses of de Blasio, Mrs. Clinton, Donald Trump. But we know that a pressure cooker bomb didn't go off to hurt anyone, but that was part of what was planted. We know one was a pipe bomb in New Jersey. But there is a gay group, a gay website that's claiming responsibility for one of those bombings, I guess, in the trash can. What are your thoughts about this, and what do you know that we might not know?
Sandy, I think this, you know, this Tumblr website that was set up after the bombings, I think it has absolutely nothing to do with these attacks. I mean, we've got the FBI this morning putting out a all-points bulletin on this naturalized Afghan citizen, Ahmed Khan Rahami, from Elizabeth, New Jersey. You know, we have other suspects in custody. So, yeah, this gay Tumblr website claiming responsibility is very likely to be fraudulent. And with these incidents, that's not unusual to have, you know, different groups trying to piggyback on to it.
So, all right, to carry, you know, so here go my thoughts. I think the natural thoughts is because there's so much criticism of Donald Trump coming out in the plane, and he didn't say it was terrorists. He said it was a bombing, and we got to start taking this stuff seriously. That's basically what he said. But now, of course, the accusation is that it was a rush to judgment. How dare he speak before he knows what he's talking about? Well, he didn't really say anything other than it was a bombing. But if this Tumblr website that you just mentioned that I brought up, which claims that it's all about the mistreatment of the LGBT community, if that came up after this, then it just sounds like an attempt to, man, to make this thing political. And I guess, Patrick, you know, with the use of who else uses pressure cooker bombs? Does any other people group or terrorist group or, you know, are they known for pressure cookers besides the Islamists? Because I think they have instructions on how to build one of those in their official magazine. Do they not?
Well, yeah. Going back to the Al-Qaeda in the Arabia Peninsula, they published their English language Inspire magazine, and here several years ago they had how to make a bomb in your mother's kitchen was the title of one of the articles, and talked about using these pressure cooker bombs, which of course was the very thing that the Boston bombers used, was a pressure cooker bomb. So it looks like this. The bombs we saw over the weekend, particularly in Chelsea and then in last night in Elizabeth, New Jersey, had some very common traits which lend police right now to believe that the incidents in Seaside, New Jersey, early Saturday morning, in Chelsea and Manhattan Saturday night, and then Elizabeth, New Jersey last night, that these are all connected.
It's interesting to me that, and I want to get to Minnesota shortly, but not quite yet. ISIS is coming out claiming it was an ISIS fighter who did the stabbings in Minnesota, but not saying anything about these explosive devices. What should we make of that?
Well, ISIS is at times, they wait to see what happens. It was several days before they took credit for the Nice terror attack, the Bastille Day attack, where the guy drove through the crowd and killed 80-some-odd people. That claim didn't come out immediately. So, they have their calculation of when they want to do that. And, in the case of St. Cloud, Minnesota, the mass stabbing attack. The suspect was dead. The question's going to be, and this kind of fits the pattern, is will there be some video of the suspect in Minnesota, which the Islamic State has claimed credit for, some video of him pledging allegiance to the Islamic State, which, they will release in due course. And that still remains to be seen.
The police department, New York, as you well know, after 9/11, under different leadership, developed, as I'm hearing and understanding, one of the finest units, police forces, ways of fighting terrorism, just the best of the best. But that leadership is all gone. The police chief is gone. The mayor at that time is gone. What do you think is happening with the police and detectives under the leadership of de Blasio, given his milk toast and his refusal to even hint, even agree on any level that this might be terrorism? How is that affecting the police department and the investigation, you think? Oh, you know what, Patrick, hear the music? Hang on a second. I'll have you answer that on the other side, so if that's okay, so that you don't have to get interrupted. So we'll talk about that in just a second, but de Blasio is steadfast in not agreeing that this could be possibly terrorism. He's calling it a violent act, and the police chief's doing the same thing. It really is pretty remarkable. I heard a New York detective call in on a radio show just on Friday, just beside himself at how hamstrung they were. So I'm anxious to hear what you have to say about it, Patrick Poole. And by the way, Patrick's article on what happened in Syria with our forces being threatened by so-called Syrian rebels is going to be on our Facebook page. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
The Decision America Tour with Franklin Graham.
I'm traveling to all 50 states to hold prayer rallies. We're asking Christians to take a stand and pray and engage in your community by living and sharing your faith at home, in public, and at the ballot box. And I'm going to be sharing the gospel.
You'll find rally dates and locations, plus information on how you can be involved at DecisionAmericaTour.com.
Now is the time to take a stand.
Next time on Today's Issues, we'll talk with John Allen, author of Global War on Christians.
Even if it were true that we're at risk only where we're a minority, it would still leave 230 million people at risk of their lives. It would still be a big deal.
We'll also talk with Brett Thomas, author of the book St. Francis of Assisi, and Ron DeArmond, co-author of Don't Go to Bed Angry. That's all on the next edition of Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR.
On the first day of our tour of Israel, we will stand on the Mount of Olives and look out over the old city of Jerusalem. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. March 9 through 17, we'll be going to Israel, the Holy Land. This is 2017, of course. We'll be flying from New York City, JFK Airport, direct to Tel Aviv, and then we'll begin our 9-day tour of Israel, including Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Jericho, Tiberias, Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and all the places you've read about since you were a child in the Bible. For more information on this tour, you can order a brochure by calling us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5. Also, you can visit the website twholyland.com.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Three attacks over the weekend have shaken Americans' complacency. While officials declined to define the perpetrators as terrorists, most of us have already concluded that we are facing an increasing threat. Unfortunately, Congress is poised to compound the problem. Despite a knife-wielding, Minnesota-based Somali refugee slashing 9 innocent civilians, federal legislators are expected shortly to approve a continuing resolution that would, in part, fund the migration of over 100,000 more refugees from places like Somalia, Syria, and other nations rife with Islamic supremacism. If we can't vet such migrants, we're very likely to face still more jihadists, including those who use violence to terrify us or perhaps who seek to use stealthy techniques to accomplish the same goal, our submission to Sharia. Don't like that prospect? Tell your representatives not to fund Obama's endangering of public safety. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Tonight, New York City experienced a very serious incident. All elements of our first responders have been a part of the operation here, NYPD, FDNY, Office of Emergency Management, obviously our federal partners, FBI and others, working with us. So all hands are on deck. Injuries are significant. You'll hear from Commissioner Nigro on the details of the injuries. But at this point, we can confirm that none of those injured are likely to die. We also want to be upfront saying that there is no evidence at this point of a terror connection to this incident. This is preliminary information. It's something We will be investigating very carefully, but there is no evidence at this point of a terror connection.
All right. Let me interrupt. That's Mayor de Blasio. Initially, that's what he said. That's what they all say. That's what the Mayor of St. Cloud said, too. And before we took the break, our guest, Patrick Poole, who's an expert on all things terrorism, I asked him what difference the New York City police now and detectives under the leadership of de Blasio. So, Patrick, what is there a big difference?
Well, I think we've seen instances in which the NYPD is very publicly at odds with Mayor de Blasio, and the NYPD is still one of the finest counterterrorism forces in the world, and it looks like they've done a remarkable job here over the weekend getting a handle on this threat, but that's not to discount the fact that there seems to be some serious problems that have flipped past all the law enforcement radar here in the New York, New Jersey area.
And there's a warning now of more attacks, you know, so I know, I'm sure the people of New York just are on pins and needles, but then let's go west to the mid, you know, the center of the heartland of our country, which is Minnesota. And Patrick, we had another incident on Saturday night in which a guy dressed as a security guard attacked 8 different people with a knife, and he was finally brought down by an off-duty policeman with a gun, and actually he lunged back at the policeman 3 times. He had to shoot him repeatedly to kill him. What do we know about this incident?
Well, Sandy, the incident Saturday night in St. Cloud, Minnesota, and in fact, here about 4 years ago, I was actually in St. Cloud doing some work, and there's a large Somali community, Somali refugee community, which in this case, the suspect, Tahir Adan, came from that Somali community, and in fact, the police still haven't released his name. It actually came out of the Somali community talking with the media. I watched the press conference very early Sunday morning with the St. Cloud Police Department where they divulged that Tahir Adan, the suspect in this mass stabbing, was asking people whether they were Muslim before they were attacked, made references to Allah, but you know, the police were very cagey about it, and again, didn't release his name. And in fact, we had a similar incident here in Columbus, Ohio, where I live, back in February, where you had a guy go into an Israeli deli and attack several people with machete. And again, after that, suspect was killed by police. About half an hour after the incident, you know, the police spokesmen were very cagey and didn't want to get into the fact that he was shouting Allahu Akbar as he charged police with his machete. So the law enforcement doesn't help themselves. Doesn't mean they have to say everything, but I mean, we're at the point in which, you know, through social media and 24-hour news, you know, people get their information, and by, you know, withholding details like this, it just lose credibility. You know, they question, you know, the law enforcement and the political correctness, and then bringing it back to de Blasio, you know, him coming out saying the other night, Saturday night, after the bombing in Chelsea, that, you know, this was an intentional act, you know, but there are no indications this is terrorism. And then, you know, New York Governor Cuomo coming out this morning and saying that that this appears to have connections with international terrorism. You know, it's not a surprise to me, but again, it directly contradicts the line that de Blasio was floating Saturday night after the Chelsea bombing.
A mutual friend of ours in the national security realm observed that, you know, it's sheriff's departments who seem to understand this most clearly, But they're very receptive. They understand what's going on, that this is jihad. This is jihad. But that the police, not so much either. And I want to know if you concur with that and why you think that is.
I think that's a gross simplification. You know, there are sheriff's departments that don't get the problem, and you know, police departments like NYPD and some other fine agencies who do. So that distinction, just I would take serious issue with a very broad generalization. You know, there are thousands of law enforcement agencies in the U.S., and you know, some get it, some don't.
What do they think they're gaining? I mean, are they worried about promotions? Are they worried about their, you know, so many of the political types, whether it's the mayor or the chief of police who's appointed, it's kind of a political position. Are they just worried about how they're perceived, or are there some real threats to them if they name a name, Muhammad, or if they say we think this is another terrorist attack, but if they say something that is considered intemperate, what are they in danger of not getting promoted? What's the problem, Patrick?
Well, for most of these police departments, they don't set policy. You know, that's set by the political officials. And we have in this case a problem in both parties, by the way, you know, both political parties, where they are just controlled by this Islamophobia narrative, you know, that we can't say anything to identify the nature of the problem, to, you know, or else that will only cause more terrorism. It's bizarre in that, you know, it's the Islamic terrorism issue is the only public safety issue it's treated as its own separate category. You know, none of these other rules apply to anything else in law enforcement, whether it be gangs, whether it be human trafficking, whether, you know, you could go right down the line with the mafia, things of that sort. There's none of this political correctness, and it's really, you know, being enforced by these groups like the Council on American Islamic Relations, who were first on the scene up in St. Cloud, Minnesota, here yesterday morning, holding their press conference, where they immediately show up and the media rushes to them and they set the narrative. In fact, we saw this with the San Bernardino attack back last December, is that even before police had identified the suspects, Kerr held a press conference with family members of the suspects and laid out a whole narrative that, you know, this was, you know, mental issues, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and so I think because of that external pressure, these politicians, they don't want to be called Islamophobic or racist by these groups. And well, to some degree, I can understand that. But the problem is that it's hindering our efforts to roll back this problem. And we're at the point that we're not too far behind Europe, where this is almost a daily problem. In Europe, and you know, here over the weekend we saw three bombing attacks and a stabbing attack in Minnesota, you know, within the space of 36 hours. So the problem is metastasizing, and this political correctness is getting us nowhere.
Now, no question about it. And let me, in case there's somebody listening who hasn't heard me say this before, Council for Islamic Relations is the mouthpiece for the Muslim Brotherhood here in America. It's connected to Hamas. The fact that they even still are heard and that the news media rushes to their press conferences is a disgrace to all of us, I have to say. And that takes me, Patrick, I want to spend this next few minutes on an issue that I know you're really concerned about, and so am I, and that's the whole issue of immigration. And let me just say that this area of Minnesota, and let me just, this is reading from, I'm not sure what I'm reading from, something that I printed out this morning that doesn't have a title on it, but this is the second page of it. Minnesota has the nation's largest Somali community, with census numbers placing the population at about 40,000. But community activists say the population, most of it in the Minneapolis area, is much higher. The immigrant community has been a target for terror recruiters in recent years. More than 20 young men have left the state since 2007 to join al-Shabaab in Somalia. Patrick, al-Shabaab, isn't that branch of radical Islam that did all of that, the terrible stuff in Nigeria at the mall?
Yes, the Westgate Mall attack. And in fact, al-Shabaab was the group responsible for killing, singling out Christians at the Kenyan College a week before Easter, here about a year and a half ago in Kenya, where they slaughtered 150 college students, and again went, you know, separated out the Muslims from the Christians and killed the Christians. Al-Shabaab has done a lot of recruiting, and in fact, I was reporting on the terrorist recruiting in here in the Somali American community a year before anybody else, a year before it really became an issue, and a lot of it centers in Minnesota. The second largest Somali population is here where I live in Columbus, Ohio, where we have a number of Somali-related trouble and Somali gangs and, you know, things that aren't quite problems that aren't really indigenous to central Ohio. I mean, these have been imported problems. And we look at what's happening over in Europe, which, a lot of that reporting doesn't make it into the American press about the... I was just reading an article here this morning about every weekend there are these car burning attacks in Malmö, Sweden, which has a third largest city in Sweden and has a majority Muslim population. You have France and some of these other countries that have large Muslim populations, Belgium, and they're having, again, as I said earlier, nearly daily problems with crime, with sexual assaults, with acts of terrorism, individual acts of terrorism, machete attacks on trains and things of that sort. And these issues are here, and I think they're beginning to escalate. And, and we... John Kerry is saying that they're going to bring in another 110,000 refugees next year. With no ability to be able to vet them. I mean, yes, that's the critical thing.
And
we have no ability to vet these refugees.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, Patrick. And they're coming into the heartland of the country, into places, rural areas in Virginia and Utah and Idaho and all these. It's transforming the country and putting our citizens at risk. And I need to hasten to add that Brian Babin from Texas, along with Dave Brett from Virginia, have sent a letter to House leadership and to Paul Ryan saying that there has to be a moratorium on refugees coming from terror-producing countries. And as far as we know, Paul Ryan they're planning on, at this point, remember we talked about the CR, continuing resolution, just a few days ago? They're talking about bringing that up, funding all of it. And so we'll be talking about more of this tomorrow, but I just want you to know that it's all related. And for whatever reason, the people like Paul Ryan who live with a huge wall around their house and all the protection necessary don't think it's important to defund this because they don't want to, cause trouble or be perceived as Islamophobic. And so we need to make sure that our congressmen vote no CR, no funding for refugees. Patrick Poole, thank you so much always for joining me and for your expertise. We really do appreciate it.
Thanks, Sandy.
All right. Well, Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.